Good morning. My name's Janet, and I'm going to be reading the first chapter of Paul's letter to the Galatians this morning. So Galatians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle sent not from men, nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me, to the churches in Galatia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of God our Father, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we've already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I was still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you've heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the Church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went into Arabia. Later, I returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I'm writing you is no lie. Then I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they praised God because of me.
Just having a look around this morning, there's so much to be thankful for. Look at everyone who's come together this morning. This is us. This is the 9 o'clock church at Cowan Road. So take a look around you, and as we regather, this is who we're committing to. A church is the people as we gather together under God to worship him. So let's commit to each other. It's been a long time since the beginning of COVID that we've been able to have 3 morning congregations. And so this is a real milestone. It's nice to see Jan out the back organising morning tea for us. This is a real milestone, thanks to Jan and to all those who are chipping in and serving and helping. Welcome back. And as you look around, you'll see that there's some empty chairs. That's because we want you to be able to invite more people. So bring people back that haven't returned back. There's room for newcomers. Let's keep inviting more. And if you're at home watching this and you haven't joined us yet, or if you're new and newish, we would love to see you come and join us. A special shout out to the family of churches that are in our community. We think of those that meet at St. Ives Park and that can't all fit in their building, so many of you will be watching online. Welcome to joining us today. Also, a shout out to those who are unable physically to join with us. I'm thinking of Mary and others who are watching every week and are joining us here from online. So it's great to be here. It's great to be able to relaunch. It's great to be able to worship God together. We've got a really good time slot here at 9 o'clock church. If you think about, if you did a survey of everyone in our community and said, when's the best time on a Sunday for you to go to church? I think that the half hour that will get the most votes is probably that 9:30 to 10 o'clock slot. We've got a great time slot here. And so we can invite people, we can expect newcomers. We've also got a really interesting mix of people. Younger and older. We've got diversity. It's weird and wonderful in many ways as we're all learning each other. We're an uncommon community, multi-generational we say, but the beauty is in our diversity, as we continue to figure each other out, that we're bound together by something deeper than age or stage or culture. We're bound together by Jesus Christ. And so whether you're 30 or 80, you've got more in common than two best mates out there, because you've got eternity together, one body in Christ. So today, as we relaunch 9 o'clock church at Cowan Road, let's look around and commit to each other. Let's look upwards and give thanks to God. And let's open the Bible and put first things first as we start this new series in Galatians, which really focuses us on the gospel of grace and lands us in the most important things. Galatians sounds the gospel as clear as a bell, because sadly the church there were turning from the gospel and being confused by a modified gospel. It was not the gospel at all. It was a different gospel that undermined the gospel, and they were turning to some Jewish laws to find their acceptance with God. But the gospel that is the true gospel is a gospel of grace, not a gospel of works. It's a gospel of sacrifice and freedom. It's his sacrifice for our freedom, much like we've just remembered on Anzac Day, their sacrifice to build the foundation for our freedoms that we enjoy now, lest we forget. Christ has sacrificed for our freedom, lest we forget his grace. So let's confirm this gospel of grace. Let's make sure we remove any confusion about the gospel in our community by looking at Galatians to hear it clearly again. And Galatians is written in the most serious tone to call them back on track. So I'm picking it up in verse 6. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preached to you, let them be under God's curse. What a sizzling start to a letter. You go look at every other letter Paul wrote, and they're always starting with thanksgiving and prayer. This one cuts that bit out. There is no prayer of thanksgiving. It goes straight to, I am astonished, and let there be God's curse. This is really serious. He's putting a marker in the sand. This is a line that you don't want to cross. You don't detract from the gift of Christ. You don't detract from the sacrifice. You don't retell the story of your history and turn it into something different. This is grace. This is a gift. If you do that, he uses language like curse and perversion there in the passage. It's a very strong language. He's very firm about it because the gospel matters. It matters because it's the most gracious message of freedom that's ever been delivered. And if you delete it or lock it up or change it, you are locking away people's freedoms. This whole letter is moving towards Galatians 5, verse 1. It is for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. So that's a verse we'll probably hear a few times in this series. It is for freedom. You've been set free. So don't go for slavery. This book is a matter of freedom and slavery. If you have the gospel of grace, you are free. But if you lose that gospel, you are enslaved. And if you rob people of that good news, you are enslaving them. So let's take really good care how we handle the message of Christ. It's very much like a key that opens the lock so that you could be free. Put it in the lock and it'll bring you liberation. It's your saving grace. But if you change one little ridge on that key, it doesn't work anymore. You file it down, you bend it, you break it. It doesn't work anymore. We need to take good care how we handle the gospel of Christ, because it opens the locks to freedom. Once upon a time, I was standing on the edge of the Mona Vale headland, if you know, right up high up there, and I had my keys on a lanyard. I used to carry my keys on a lanyard on a big loop, and I was standing there swinging them on my finger, and I was pretty far back. I didn't think it would happen, but and it went flying over the edge of the cliff, and I thought, oh, here we go. So my friend and I, we walked over and we peered over the edge, and it was about 3 meters down, hanging on a twig. So it was a bit sketchy, but we clambered down a little bit. He held onto a rock and I abseiled down his leg. And I reached down and I got my keys. And we got back up safely. The things you do for your car keys. This is the most important key to freedom ever offered. Let's not ruin it or lose it or flick it off the edge of a cliff. It is that important. How much more important for those who are teaching it and spreading this message? There's all kinds of faulty gospels going around the world because people have taken the key, they've edited it, they've gone to the locksmith and had it duplicated 1,000 times and passed it all around. And so all these people are putting their hope in a key that looks Christian, but it doesn't work and it doesn't bring freedom. He says very seriously, let that person be under God's curse. Let us not be those who send around dodgy keys that offer freedom but fail to bring freedom. That's the problem in Galatia. We call these false teachers Judaizers, and the best definition's in Acts chapter 15, verse 1. Certain people were teaching the believers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. So it's about laws and legal activity that you need to obey to be right with God. Paul calls them false believers in Galatians 2:4, people who infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus and to make us slaves. So they're called false believers because believers, yes, they look legitimate, but they're causing people to be in slavery. They are false believers. So Paul comes on very strong and he says, I am astonished. Let them be cursed. And he calls the Galatian church back to faith. He says, I want you to know, verse 11, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached to you is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. Paul wants to show that his gospel is the truth. It is dependable. It's reliable. He received it directly from Jesus. You can rely on it because it's the direct revelation from the Lord himself. A lot of people in history have claimed direct revelation from God. So how do we trust this? If you think about the Jewish faith and their foundation on Moses, as we uphold too in our scriptures, that there's revelation directly from God. And then if you think about Islam and those who turn to Muhammad for his direct revelation to produce the Quran, or there's many examples, I think of Joseph Smith and the Book of Mormon and all of these revelations that have been made by direct revelation. So how can we trust this revelation? Why trust Paul? We need to just keep in mind that for the Galatian believers that their faith was actually a little different to the 21st century Western person, because they already had a faith that Moses' revelation was legitimate. They already had a faith, some sort of faith in Jesus. So their problem wasn't revelation, full stop. Their problem wasn't the existence of God and the revelation of God. Their problem was, who can we trust? So Paul sets out to show that he is a trustworthy person in receiving a revelation and passing it on. And that's why he talks about his conversion. He talks about how he at one time hated Christianity and used to do great destruction to the church, and then God turned him around and now he's a believer. He is one who has been completely changed. How was he changed? See, I'm learning how hard it is to change your beliefs and to change your habits and to change your behaviours in life. How was it that Paul went from that direction to that direction with such a big change of life? He attributes it to revelation. Was it some sort of teaching he'd received from another person? He says, no, I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. So it wasn't a documentary or a book or some sort of sensei that gave him this information. It wasn't a podcast or some wisdom from external. Maybe he got it within himself. Did he sit and self-reflect? Did he come to it in his own way? He says, no, this is not human origin. It's not a personal discovery that he came up with himself. So it's not from other teachers. It's not from within himself. How did he get it? He makes it very clear that it was a revelation. And the way he talks about it is that he was jolted out of his old beliefs and jolted into faith by a confrontation with the resurrected Jesus. He was blinded by the risen Lord and given the gospel message to preach. In verse 16, he says that God was pleased to reveal his Son in me so that I might preach him. Reveal, there's the word again. That's the catalyst for his transformation. God revealed his Son directly and changed his life. So this is evidence that his teaching is reliable. He'd received a revelation that changed his life. But he keeps going on with more evidence that he's reliable. And the next piece of evidence that he gives is that he didn't meet up with any of the apostles. Next week we'll hear about the 14-year gap where he really didn't meet up with the apostles. But he goes out of his way very quickly to say that he didn't meet up with anyone. I'm just looking for the verse. Verse 16, immediate response. He did not consult any human being. I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was. So he's pointing out that his message is not derivative of the apostles. He didn't go and find a sensei or an apostle to teach him, but his direct revelation was independent of the other apostles, which is why he calls himself an apostle. The very first verse of this book says, Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. So he points out that he has equal authority to all the other apostles, and he had met the resurrected Lord and been given this divine gospel. And next week we'll hear that he was preaching the same message with the same scriptures and the same authority as the other apostles, even after 14 years of independence. So you can rely on Paul's gospel. He wasn't taught it, he didn't make it up, it was revealed to him. So as we relaunch this 9 o'clock church, the invitation is, trust the gospel of grace as revealed by Jesus Christ. And if you haven't believed in this gospel or found faith, then may this series jolt you out of your doubt and bring you into the grace of Christ. For many of you here today who do believe this gospel of grace, then hopefully this series will knit you tightly into this gospel so that you know it in your head clearly without any confusion, you've got it in your heart, and that you can know it, believe it, and teach it to others. This is going to be a really good series because it's about freedom. It's about grace. It's about peace. Galatians says, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Some of you feel trapped by a bad situation of life. You feel that your life is terrible, that there is all kinds of evil and difficulty and challenge. Galatians says, "Grace and peace to you from our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Some of you are feeling enslaved in the guilt of your sin. You feel like you're stuck at point A and you really want to be at point B. And you feel like everyone around you expects you to be at point B, and so you try and pretend to be at point B. All you want to really know is, does God love me? Galatians says, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever." This is a gospel of grace and peace. It says that it's a rescue from this present evil age, which is the challenges and troubles that are all around you. If your life is hard or horrible or full of evil, there is hope because Jesus gave himself to rescue us from this present evil age. It's also a rescue from our sins, by which in Galatians we understand to mean the guilt of our sin, the shame and the penalty. So even if you feel stuck at A and you want to be at B, you don't have to pretend to be at B, because you don't get rescued from sin by being at point B. You get rescued from sin by grace. It's a rescue. Christ gave himself for you. Grace means it's a gift. You can't pay for it. It's not like something that you earn wages for. It's like your birthday present. You don't turn and say, "How much do I owe you?" It's a gift. It's free. It's grace. And it's a rescue. It's a rescue because we're stuck. And we can't get ourselves out of it. We need rescuing. Jesus is a savior. The one who can save us is God our Father. The one who did is Jesus Christ our Lord. Our Father has grace. Our Lord has power. So grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. As we relaunch 9 o'clock church, I hope you're looking forward to this series. Let's be a congregation that stands firm and holds fast to the freedom that the gospel offers. Never corrupting it, never changing that key to freedom. Because the gospel is from God, it's divine, it's revealed, it's powerful, it's glorious, it's liberating. It is our freedom. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.